How has the Indonesian government's bureaucracy come into this problem with Tiger Air, the grounding?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that you raised the issue that this is not a business airline, this is a holiday airline, it is, by its own acknowledgement, a budget airline. Mm. And I think there are quite some serious issues, particularly for Australians who tend to use these budget airlines. And I think we need to recognise that in some ways, you know, the old saying, you pay what you get, you get what you pay for, is in fact true in this case. And I think what has happened, of course, has been some of the serious pressures around, you know, costs in Bali, maintaining, of course, there has been quite a lot of pressure on the Indonesian government and particularly in that whole area after the Malaysian Airlines and so on. So there's been quite a lot of international focus on requirements for safety and safety measures and so on. Tiger Air has traditionally, of course, been under a cloud for quite some time at various points. Because they're cost-cutting, then, of course, that cost-cutting comes down to maintenance and, of course, an ability to pay. And I think sometimes Australians tend to have a very cavalier sort of attitude, because we live in a country which is highly organised and highly regulated and which is incredibly safety conscious. Particularly, I mean, we all know, you know, the story of Qantas, the safest airline in the world, and some of those other things. We've all been very acutely aware of the regulations around air travel and road travel, all sorts of things, you know, kind of in terms of that. And I think Australians sometimes, when they see a bargain and want to go on a holiday and so on, they get carried up in some of those other issues and forget the realities, which all of these budget airlines, you know, whether you're in the US or Europe or places, I mean, you know, they could be just cancelled at a moment because there aren't enough people, too many, all of that. And I think what you have here is a further issue, although I did see this morning where Tiger Air was going to bring 1,000 people back home. But I think, you know, people who travel on these budget airlines need to understand that they are subject to the vagaries of government intervention. It is interesting that they have chosen Tiger Air, and one would could also suggest, you know, that some of the bigger airlines are putting pressure on the government as well to, you know, to make inspections to ensure that they are. But it would seem
do you mean that some of the big airlines have been pressuring the Indonesian bureaucracy to crack down on these airlines? Or?
No. But I think what they're, I mean, the crackdown, I think, you know, the Indonesian government has been having some crackdown on safety and cost issues. And, of course, in the process of that, these small airlines can't compete with the big ones.
Right. But, I mean, Tiger Air is owned by Singapore Airlines.
It is owned by Singapore Airlines.
They've got a good record, haven't they?
And they've got a fantastic record. But the difficulty is, of course, they're putting all their energy and all their costs, and they give you the premium flight is in Singapore Air, right? So if you want to fly safely and you want the best and so on, fly Singapore Air, whereas Tiger Air, as we know, was created simply as a cheap end product. And so because it's not associated with them, because there's no brand association, they don't their worries are not, so they can just say if it's not meeting standards, if it's not required, they just say we close it down. And, they know they don't have business people with them.
And right. is that where they mainly go, Bali, or is there other places that Tiger Air?
Well, they do have some short flights around Malaysia and, you know, kind of from Singapore out and around and about. But most people who would travel on Tiger Air are people who normally wouldn't have been able to fly. Mm. I think they're a socio-economic group that doesn't traditionally fly, doesn't often fly, the more important airlines. Or, I mean, there are lots of Aussie backpackers and people who think they're going to have, you know, fun time and just shoot over there.
Yeah.
But the difficulty is, of course,
They can't get back.
They can't get back, or in fact, they're going to be stuck there, and they're the very people who haven't got money for the two or three nights in the hotel and so on.
So they sleep on the beach or something, I suppose.
Yeah. But I do think there are some big safety issues, and there are also, of course, cost issues. And the issues around cost are tied usually to landing fees and charges and so on.
But are Tiger Air still flying domestically around Australia?
Some of them are, but you see, they're required to meet the standards here. And the standards are really strongly enforced here.
So what happened from the Indonesian government's point of view has also stopped flights in Australia domestically?
Well, it has stopped some because they haven't got planes here.
Ah, right. Yes, of course, that's a problem too, isn't it? So they're sort of sitting on the ground in Denpasar Airport, are they?
Well, that's my understanding.
Ah, right.
Yes.
And look, I understand a lot of Virgin Australia planes are being used to bring people back. But
yes,
does that
of course,
mean you, do you have to pay?
People would have to pay. And of course, if they have holiday insurance. But of course, but this is a group, of course, that's looking for budget, looking for cheap, you know, and that's fine if you're prepared to wear the consequences of that. But that is the difficulties of this, is that, you know, you take a punt and 99 times you might be lucky, but the 100, you know, kind of this is the time that you're unlucky. And you might get to, you know, travel and have fun and do some of those things, you know, most of the time. But every now and then, you know, pressure bills, or there's not enough money for landing fees, or there's pressure on staff. See, there's also been, you know, pressure on staffing. I mean, we've seen some instances, you know, kind of where... staffing issues around, you know, kind of requirements for flying hours and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
So whereas the premium airlines and Singapore Airlines, of course, are very strict and very thorough with their own staff, and they make sure, you know, they meet every recommendation.
And, normally with them, you'd also, they'd put you up at a hotel somewhere near the airport there's a problem. And then, but you're not getting this with Tiger Air, are you? So,
No, you're not.
Can you get anything out of them? Is that... If you're at the front desk, banging the front desk, you're likely to get anything.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think the only recourse you have is whether you have travel insurance. And,
right.
Of course, as we know, budget travellers very rarely do that because which is what I think the foreign minister said the last time all of this happened was, you know, if you can't afford travel insurance, you can't afford to travel.
Yeah, Probably a good idea because you're in a foreign country and you don't. A lot of people just think, oh, you know, their rights travel with them. Their Australian rights travel with them, but they
exactly.
don't. You're in a foreign country. You're totally in someone else's hands, and
you don't have any rights.
You know,
the old saying that if you want things to be like home.
Go to the Gold Coast. Yeah.
Yes, you know, and I do think perhaps this is again a lesson which brings it out again and again that, you know, these budget airlines, while they may be good fun and while you may be able to go places most of the times, you know, when push comes to shove, when there are issues around safety or landing fees or crews or crewing and so on, you know, that... The first airlines to, you know, stop are the budget airlines. And, of course, you know, by definition, they don't have the money or the support services, and they don't pretend to support you there.
What with the notice that the Indonesian government gave Tiger Air, I understand that it was without any sort of, notice at all, really. Why was that? What had happened so suddenly?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you that exactly, but, I mean, I think sometimes... you know, some of those things perhaps seem to be out of the air, but perhaps those closer in the know would actually understand that they were being monitored or had been being monitored and, you know, kind of it wasn't quite as much out of the blue as they perhaps sometimes make out, because there have been some discussions for quite a while around Tiger Air and safety and landing fees and so on.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's entirely out of the blue. They may say so, and they may not have expected at this moment, but there certainly has been concerns raised for quite a long time around them.
Yes, we've heard things, haven't we, in the past?
Yes.
Can you see a resumption of flights from Bali anytime soon?
Well, Possibly not. I mean, I believe that they're flying people home today. Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's, again, a salutary lesson, I think, for a lot of Australians to actually think about the use of these budget airlines in terms of, you know, kind of an ability. You may save money in the short term, but it's going to cost you an awful lot, you know. Nothing to get in, but a lot to get out. And I guess that's the same sort of issue, again, around, you know, travel insurance, price of fares, you know, kind of for people who've gone with Virgin or with, you know, some of the other Jetstar or whatever. They, of course, have, you know, other backers and bigger organisations and traditional support.
Yeah, but even with Jetstar, I mean, we've seen problems with Jetstar with, you know, flights coming back and being grounded and little problems here and there.
Yes, and the
which,
same thing.
Which would have affected, if it had been a Qantas brand, it would have affected their perfect record, wouldn't it?
Well, yes and no, but see, this is the same issue again. You know, Qantas kind, even though we know Jetstar is a Qantas brand, Qantas doesn't see it quite as that, and they maintain their premium, you know, their brand in the beautiful Qantas, in inverted commas, you know, and so that, and this is what Singapore Airlines has done with the Tiger too. Well, Tiger, nothing to do with us, really.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, we don't know anything about that. What?
Yes,
what's gone on with Tiger? Oh, we don't know anything about it.
No, no. So that, you know, their premium brands remain premium. You pay for it, but you also get the service and you get the backup so that, you know, if the connections aren't made, if the plane doesn't come, they put you in a hotel, all of those kind of things.
So Singapore could just cut Tiger loose and go, that's it. It's if it needs to collapse, it will.
Yes, it may just be that. And of course, I mean, these budget airlines in Asia have came out of, you know, the boom in China, the boom, you know, the booms in Singapore and so on, and the move, and plus all the, you know, people who are travelling and all that whole kind of shift to, with the moves to people, you know, you had a lot of Filipinos on the move, a lot of Malays and so on who were working, you know, guest workers all around that area.
Well, I think so it's a pretty cheap airline coming out of the Philippines at the moment too, isn't it?
Yes.
It's all of
those things. So, I mean, but those premium airlines aren't going to worry if, you know, one of the budget. I mean, in fact, because they're not actually the same, they're not necessarily often the same customers.
Yeah, and so what will if Singapore decides to let Tiger Air just sink into the west, what would happen to the planes and the pilots and the air crew and that sort of thing?
Well, I guess they'll be looking for jobs elsewhere, as they always are. And but see, there's expansion in China, you know, highly qualified pilots and staff. Eventually are able to get a job. I'm not saying it's easy, but are eventually. And one would assume, but it may just be that the market there in the current economic climate is saturated.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks, Dr. Mary Crawford from Queensland University of Technology, for giving us that background on what's going on with Tiger Air. It's very interesting. Oh, Tiger Air and IATA airline?
Pardon?
Are they part of the IATA agreement?
Well, it's dubious.
Okay.
Yes, I think that's one of the issues. You know, they would claim they are, and initially I think Singapore Airline claimed they were, but now they're not. Maybe they're not.
That's very interesting.
That's one of the vagaries of all of that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
So maybe have a look at the airline, bit of a close look at the airline that you're travelling on next time. Don't just look at the price from one of these price homologators that you find on the internet.
Yes.
You know, be a bit careful.
As I say, the dollars you save at this end may turn into treble.
A couple of nights accommodation would wipe all that out, wouldn't it?
Yes. You know, days missed work and all of that. Okay.
All right, Mary, thanks for coming on to the program. Really appreciate you being on The Daily.